On this week's Our Beer Could Be Your Life, we sit down with Bridget Duggan and Tracy Putnam of Lockett, or maybe Lockett. You'll have to listen to find out. But we do find that out, as well as probably the weirdest places they played a show, and how great the city of Woburn, Massachusetts is.
I want to give you a special shout out, Woburn. We think you're okay. People who live there may not.
You might be just fine. I'm going to find out soon. How are you boys doing tonight? Dennis, how are you doing?
I'm doing just great. How are you?
I am doing well. Joe, yourself?
You know, I'm doing great this evening as well. I'm enjoying that we're all actually drinking the same thing. So I'm getting ready to talk about this old money beer that we're drinking.
Old money beer.
That's right. Old money beer. I am a member of a Facebook group that I suggest to folks who are interested in this sort of thing, Old Money Tickers. And it's just people sharing old dusty bottles of things that were really cool in the craft beer world like 10 years ago. And one of those things is Bar Harbor's Cadillac Mountain Stout, a recipient of an A on Beer Advocate back in the day, a top 100 beer at a certain point in time. As you know, beer tastes better when you can't get it. So when it didn't leave Maine, it was much hyped after, and now that you can get it conveniently at a store, it is not nearly as good because it's way too convenient. But it is a delicious, they call it Irish dry stout, and I think it's more like American stout personally, but I really enjoy it.
I will say I never remember it being referred to as a dry Irish stout for the longest time. I just remember being a stout. Their facility up there in Bar Harbor is like the quaintest little brewery. Like, it feels like you're like rolling up on a Cape house that has a giant fermenter tank out in it.
Yeah.
So just, but this beer is delicious and I haven't had it in years. So thank you, Joe, for making us dust this bottle off.
Yeah, it's great. It's definitely more of an American stout than I'd say an Irish dry stout, but
I recall it being called that and being classified as such. But I wonder if the American stout category is confusing for a lot of folks, because right now, stout at a cool brewery down the street is probably like a 10% adjunct laden, barrel rested, marshmallow infused beer. And that's not what this is. This is like a 6%
yeah,
delicious beer that doesn't have any of those things in it. And actually don't know what the ABV is on it. Where'd my bottle go?
The marketing definitely directs more to people that would drink Guinness and get them into that than anything else, which
definitely not a pastry stout, which I appreciate because those are fucking stupid.
I don't know if I can appreciate a beer like that now and again, a pastry stout. But you know, an everyday drinking beer, they are not. And I enjoy a stout that I can just have at a reasonable hour and not like check out for the rest of my day because I just had 16 ounces of cold Cabernet, because that's what some of these clock in at ABV wise.
Yeah.
A pastry stout is like great to split with three or four other people so that I only have to drink like 4 or 5 ounces and I can just sip on it, appreciate it. Like, what's the Southern Tier creme brulee? I remember when that first came out, I feel like that is one of the originators of this super sweet style of just like drinking a dessert.
Yep.
Like, I can only drink like half of that bottle. And that's it. Yeah. I like it. And I never want to, you know, drink one for like 6 months after that, but I enjoy it. It's like a nice, it's like eating like really trashy food every once in a while. Like, I just can get down.
I'm not much of a dessert person in general. So like dessert stouts, not really what I'm going for.
You're sweet enough on your own, right?
Exactly. I don't need anything else.
I would say that the American stout is the just the straight signal from the bass guitar to a good amp, just regular. And then the adjunct stout is all your pedals and your effects. And that is a big market tease for fuzz effects in your guitars and basses in this episode. How about that?
Nice.
Bringing it back.
Nailed it.
In listening to Lockett since talking to Tracy in particular, I have noticed that bass tone is very lovely and does like fill out the sound in a really lovely way. And it made me think more about what that means, you know, what part of the mix of the bass should sit in some bands, and including bands that I play in. So I'm like, maybe I should pay more attention to that. So I really appreciated learning more about that and thinking more about that. And I got to thinking about that from talking to them. So that was really cool.
Nice.
Yeah. I feel like you've been on a nice bass heavy kick talking to our guests with Joe Lally and
going
to talk bass tone with Tracy. So
the Bass in Your Face podcast is going to be a side project of Dennis and my own. And we're going to only talk about bass and maybe just like have mixes of popular music with just the bass
lines. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Up and coming, baby.
Well, if
strip away all that noise, like vocals and drums, all that bullshit, what you want is that bass line.
Just the bass line.
That's right.
If we can't get Mike Watt on this podcast, then we've failed with all this bass. I feel like a signal has gone up to the sky of, you know, San Pedro, and just like Watt's like, oh, that's for me, but I don't know where it's coming from.
It's going to be really sad when we have that episode without you because you're a guitar player and we can't have you messing with the bass face.
Yeah, no, I'll just like be on silent, video off, just like sitting in the room being like, sup?
Yeah, you can do that Chris Farley impression. You're like, remember that time you were in Miniman?
Remember?
Remember that? That was a good band.
Oh, you remember that time you started Fire Hose too? Like that band was really good. I like that band.
Yeah, well, we don't. Yeah, that's an up and coming tease to a fake podcast we've yet to make. But hey, we did actually make a podcast with two lovely local musicians, and that's what this episode is, talking to those folks. We met Bridget first through once, and she was instrumental in putting us together with the folks at Deadmoon Audio and Treebeard Media for our live show with Jeff Rowe. So shouts to that previous episode.
Yeah, she's a little responsible with us finally getting off our asses and actually doing this. So a lot of appreciation for that.
More responsible than us, that's for sure. But yeah, thanks for all that, Bridget and folks. And yeah, anyway, this is a really fun band to listen to if you haven't already. So you should check them out.
And enjoy this episode.
Anyway, so yeah, we'll like get towards the end of the hour and talk a bit about Kyria, but in the lead-in, I want to talk to you all about your band.
Yeah,
where do you put the emphasis on the syllables?
Is it Lockett or Lockett?
Yes.
I don't think
we've had this discussion about it.
I mean, whatever. I'll say that the intention was for it to be Lockett, just like a fancy. Because like Bridget, like, you know, there's like TTE,
you'll
say Bridget, like it's just.
Is this like a, like how At the Drive-In says that invalid litter department and invalid litter department are equally, like you're allowed to say it both ways?
Yeah, like, I think it's
the same idea.
Mm-hmm. It's good enough.
We're not going to correct you.
Lockett is like this makes it a little fancy, you know what I mean?
So, yeah, so you're going to go perform in New York City, you know?
Rockettes.
Rockettes. We're very Rockettes.
It's like our two sides of our personality, right? You know, the locket, the locket.
That's true. We were talking about a popular local music website and the name of your band, because we're like, all right, so Lock It or Lockette. And also, I've never heard anyone say Vanyaland out loud, and I don't know if it's Vanyaland or Vanyaland, and I have no idea.
I think it depends on where you're from.
Yeah. Okay, so North Shore, how do you say it up there?
Vanyaland all day. Kid.
Yeah, that's right. We need a kid. Now, I'm from the land over here where people say mush instead of kid, so that would be how I would...
Wait, people say mush instead of...
This is a Silver Lake and Newton thing, so it's actually not Waltham, but just next door. Mush.
I've never heard that before.
Same.
I don't think I understand. Mush instead of what?
Is it like mush? Like, what are you doing, mush? Like, what is this?
Like Meshuggah? Is that like
I don't know. I learned like this. Like guy? Yeah, like guy. And really,
I've never heard that. That's fascinating.
Until I worked in Waltham on Moody Street, and a kid from Newton worked there, told me about the slang. I experienced him using it with his friends. And just in case he had been putting me on, like years later, I saw a sitcom, the Louis C.K. sitcom, where he goes to Newton, gets in a fight with like a bro in Newton, and the that guy uses that slang. I was like, oh, this is like a real like Newton slang. So yeah, mush.
I have never heard that. I love my coworker who's from Salisbury, Amesbury area, and I love to talk about like hyper regional vernacular and the weird things like our dads say.
Do share those things, because I love this. I would have a podcast only about New England regionalism.
We're gonna talk colloquialisms the whole time. So that
down cellar is a personal favorite of mine.
Yes.
Never in the basement, never in the cellar, never I'm going down to the cellar, always down cellar, one word.
Tonic. Mm. She says tonic too, instead of
the tonic.
I don't know that.
My grandma always said,
I say soda. I'm a soda girl.
Soda. Yeah, but she says, go get some tonic.
Bubla.
Tonic.
I say bubla.
Bubla. Bubla, I grew up with. Bubla runs true to me. That comes up a lot at work. We have inexplicably two bubblers.
Bubla. Like,
there's a warehouse, and in the middle of it, the warehouse, you know, constantly covered in like, you know, warehouse dust is a bubbler. I'm like, don't drink out of that, please. Drink out of that.
The dust doesn't get in it. I mean,
no.
Honest.
Supper.
Don't put your...
I don't the difference that... between supper and dinner.
Oh, yes, yes. You'd be supping right now if you're eating, in my mind. And you'd be eating dinner if it were like 8 o'clock. But
a nice ham and bean supper.
Supper was just Sunday. Sunday at 2 o'clock was supper. I thought that was...
I do feel like eating with my parents, it's getting earlier and earlier as they age. They're in their early 60s now. And it's like by half an hour increments. It's like, oh no, we can't eat at 7. Like, can we though? I feel like we could. We have.
I like an early meal. An early meal and an early bedtime.
That's a rock and roll thing right there. That's
oh new, yeah. 9 p.m. Like, I'm done.
I definitely go to bed earlier after this pandemic business.
I can't imagine like staying up past 10.
I mean, I do it, but I don't feel well rested the next day. That's for sure.
Wild.
So you guys are ready to be headlining some shows when it comes back. You're going to have to stay up.
Nice matinees.
I'm going to need a ride.
You know, I follow a couple of Instagram accounts that share like flyers from East Coast punk shows, which, you know, I grew up going to. So it's always funny when I see one that I recognize. But then I'm like, there's 9 bands in a church and it starts at 4. But that one might have been done at like, you know, 8. And that would have been okay. But some of these are like these many, many band shows. It makes me think that I'll never want to do that again.
I never understood the like all day multi-band, like who goes all day. I guess kids do. I guess I'm just old.
All ages shows. Yeah, I used to work at the Middle East in the box office, and that was the Middle East upstairs Saturday and Sunday all day. Yeah.
Oh, fantastic.
No, thank you.
So maybe we talk a little bit more about Lock It, and then I do want to talk about your experiences in the music scene. I would love to talk more about working in the Middle East box office, because I'm sure that was an experience as a small place. And yeah, so what do you all do in Lock It?
I It feels really weird to be talking about the band because we haven't even like practiced in the longest time. When did we have that practice that we had?
It could have been 3 weeks ago. March? It could have been April? A year and a half ago. It's the same. It was a while ago.
Yeah.
A month.
And, well, yeah. And then the time before that was like 6 months before that. So
wow.
We've practiced like four times in the last year, but have two very solid songs in the works somehow.
That's excellent.
There you go.
Have there been any remote collaborations in between these in-person practices?
We tried, but we
didn't do very well at it.
The Zoom lag is terrible.
Yeah. Not even that. Just like we were trying to like record like on some.
Ashley did a very good job, and all the rest of us let her down.
Yeah, I submitted my part. Okay. Nobody.
You did. Yeah.
I did. Did I upload it? I don't know if I uploaded. I think I did. But
I don't know. But Bridget sings and plays guitar. And I play bass.
And someone who is not representing today plays drums, I assume. And you guys didn't, y'all didn't form during the pandemic. You predate all of this. So were you guys playing shows out in Boston before the pandemic? Before I've only heard of you since the pandemic, unfortunately, but look forward to seeing you again in the future. But were you guys playing out actively?
We had a busy 2019? 2018? I don't know.
I think we counted how many gigs we did and it was a lot.
It was a lot.
New BC before COVID. Yeah.
At some point in the past, we played shows regularly.
At some point in the future, I hope that you will again.
Perhaps.
You know, once, obviously, I know Bridget works at Once. What was your favorite place to play a show in Boston besides Once? That's always one of my favorite things to ask.
Like, ever of all time?
Sure.
I don't know.
I don't know either. I can't answer that question. I just have to think about.
I mean, I'm very biased towards O'Brien's because I've played it 1,000 times.
But almost always a good time. I would say my consistent favorite, not my favorite of all time ever, but my consistent favorite is probably Charlie's because I feel like it's just like always a good time. Like I've rarely had a bad time at a Charlie show.
Yeah, that's fair. I mean, you know, it's a terrible space to play a show, but it's like the funnest show you could ever play.
Right. Yeah. It's consistent. There's probably going to be people there. You're going to get a burger. It's a good time. You're having a good time.
What do you drink at Charlie's?
They have the Tank 7, I think, which I really enjoy. I haven't had one in a really long time, but they have that, which you don't see a lot of places. So I like that.
What about you, Bridge?
Pick it up a little.
What do I drink at Charlie's?
Yeah, this is a beer. This beer and music. I'm gonna throw it all in here.
Okay, I mean, like as where to play? I don't know. I'm not really sure. Where are the places to play anymore? Where have we played?
We played a bunch of places that sucked that we don't need to mention.
No.
No, we can mention those too. That's the.
Okay. It's always nice. I'm not going to say anything bad about any place, but yeah, some are nicer than others.
Bridget's biased. She's in the inner circle, so she can't.
I don't,
you know,
I mean, I don't even live there anymore. So I can say that it's nice. I don't know. I think it was fun. We did like a little tour in November of 2019 and that was fun. And
the record store was kind of weird, but really fun.
Yeah. The records we played an afternoon show in a record store
in the middle of the day.
And it was just like in a strip mall or something in Willimantic, Connecticut.
Next to a laundromat.
Mm-hmm. Fantastic. And this was around, you had your demo out at that point, right? Like that was that what you were touring on?
Yeah, we had released our debut EP, I guess. We had one before. We had a demo that we did. So we've been a band since like 2016, 2017, I think. And then it was originally... There was originally a cello and not a bass.
Oh.
And then the cellist moved to Seattle or around Seattle. And then we got Tracy
I came on board.
You came on board, like via Facebook post or something like that. And like, we had another member named Courtney Dennison, who's she's been in a lot of cool bands. What's her band now that she's in? Bad Idea USA. Yeah. Oh,
okay. They're really good.
They're good. You feel like a pop punk like stuff is so catchy and fun.
Yes, I do.
And she got pregnant and left the band. And then we were three piece for a little while, just me, Gab, and Tracy. And that was, I feel like I was not really great at the guitar at that point. I was okay, but like I couldn't solo or anything like that. And then Ashley was in this band called Yes Commander that we had played with. And then we had a Halloween show and we were going to do, was it Blondie? We did Blondie.
That was the Blondie. Yeah.
Blondie tribute band. And we asked her to play and then she just sort of never left after that.
Sucked her in and kept her.
Yeah.
Nice.
And put her roots down and just stayed, just didn't go anywhere. Is this the first band you were in?
What?
Is this the first band you were in? You said you were just learning guitar, but.
Yeah, well, I was in another band, but I didn't play. I just sang, like I did sort of, like I would like just write the basic songs and then share them with people and then play them. And I sort of just like, you know, I have had a guitar since I was like 15 on and off, just playing basic chords, but never really. And then just started feeling like I want to play. It's fun to make noise and step on pedals and change the noise, and you know, so just started playing more. I just like made a little promise to myself that I always wanted to play at least rhythm guitar, and then so I feel like I'm way better now too.
That's awesome. I didn't know that you were, well, not new to the instrument, but that it was something you were trying on more recently. That's very cool. And the sound of your band you describe as fuzzed out and occult, I think, or walking through fuzz and occult. And I want to know more about all these things.
Bands are so hard to describe.
I don't know.
Yeah, but see, this is our interview show, and Oz and I are in a band that we can't describe. So, but we're not talking about that. We're talking about
your band. Right.
Here's, I mean, you should at least say you're from Salem instead of Danvers, and at least we can go, okay.
To be fair, I am a Putnam of the like OG.
Oh shit.
Salem Putnams. My middle name is Ann, so Ann Putnam is like, that's my jam. I can personally attest that the bitchiness in the Putnam family runs very, very deep. And almost all of the stuff that Salem is famous for actually happened in Danvers, so.
So fuck you, Salem. That's that.
And I'm a descendant of one of the witches that got accused. So
yeah, we found this out at some point. And then Ashley has a connection too.
Yeah. I don't remember what it was. I think you guys probably are related or something. Wasn't it?
I'm related to almost everybody, so that's probably true.
Fantastic.
The lady that I'm a descendant of, she wasn't like hung or anything. She was accused. She said that she did it. And then she was like in jail for a while. And then she was
strategy.
Like, yeah. Rebecca Ames. I don't know how you say the last name. She's like, she was it somehow with my Nana.
You pissed off one of my relatives.
Probably.
Like dog shit on the lawn or something. And they're like, you're a witch. Get out of here.
Yeah. Men being afraid of women goes back a long time in this country. Yeah. Well, but now you are I was gonna use the verb bewitching your audience, but I'm just
good.
I'm gonna nix that right there. That's fucking
well
that's that wraps it up. I've been kicked out of this podcast.
I don't know, we like a corny joke. It's okay.
Okay, thank you. Yeah, sorry about that.
We're here for your dad jokes.
Yeah, and you have now you have to start getting ready to make dad jokes. So
I'm prepping them. Don't worry, they're getting prepped.
I'm not a dad, but I'm just here to give you shitty dad jokes.
I mean, you might have just impregnated your wife saying that joke. So,
Well, luckily she doesn't listen to this podcast. I don't know if you knew that. but she definitely doesn't. So she would never know that we said that. I do want to talk about pedals for a second. You mentioned pedals changing sounds. I am a bass player. I don't like pedals just because they seem complicated. I know, sorry. But what do you like about what is the sound that you want to achieve with your guitar, Bridget? What is the ideal for you?
I don't have an ideal sound. It's all dependent on the song.
Perfect.
What does the song call for? You know, like, I don't know. I just like figuring it out. Tracy has a really nice tone. She's very good at figuring out the tone. No, seriously, people, after every single gig that we've had, the bassist and the other bands will be like, what are you playing? Your tone is really nice. Like, she's got a great tone.
So let's talk about this tone, this famous tone.
I got a solid tone.
No pedals. You made a face when you mentioned pedals. So
I do have several pedals. I'm a fan of pedals. I don't like a complicated pedal because I don't really understand what they do.
Right.
If it's got more than two knobs, I don't get it and I don't want it. but I like a fuzz pedal. I like a chorus pedal. I like a fuzz and a chorus pedal. Sometimes I like two chorus pedals.
Chorus pedals.
Oh, yeah. Sometimes I like to have two chorus pedals.
It's a lot of choruses. I feel like that's like, you know,
it's the right amount of
chorus. Choir fight.
Bridget likes a chorus pedal too.
I love a chorus pedal.
Yeah, and I think it like pedal. Elevated your whole like being a guitar player when you got the chorus pedal.
Well, when I got my amp, really, that really elevated everything. I was playing like a really shitty amp that was like my husband's brother's amp when he was like a teenager. I don't even know. It had no brand. It was green and it would pick up like radio stations too. So,
well, that's kind of cool to a sound. You can't replicate that. No pedal can do that.
No, it's true.
Probably, but you chose a good one. It sounds good.
Mm-hmm.
And then you add a little chorus on it.
Chorus and a fuzz. That's what I like. So too, but I'm definitely into experimenting with others. It's just, haven't had the opportunity to yet, you know.
Y'all have a warm like kind of fuzzy melody, warm fuzzy tone that like supports a really nice melody that I really enjoy. So that's, I was curious if it's like transition of tones for you and like shaping to the song, or if it's like you switch between stuff. I don't know. I'm with Tracy. More than three buttons is a problem. I just bought a guitar that has three knobs on it, and one of them has a pull thing. Okay. And so it's like a coil tap, which I don't know how to use yet. So that is already too complicated. And as soon as I figure that out, maybe I'll consider a pedal. But
well, I think that a lot of I think a lot of people do comment on my bass tone, but honestly, like I think that most bass players are just like, this is a bass. I don't need to worry about my bass tone. It sounds bassy, you know, and they don't really think about it. So if you keep it putting like a modest amount of effort into like, you know, dialing it in and like, you know, throw a you know, a couple of effects on there, like really just lifts it up.
Cool.
That's what I think. But
I mean, as a guitar player, just the bass has to sound like a bass, right? What's how complicated can it be? Yeah. Right, Bridget, back me up here.
Well, I would say that like, okay, so like when it was just the three of us, and we weren't even like just the three of us for that long, it was like half a year or something. Like, I feel like my weakness, like because I was not that great of a guitar player, like I relied on like a pedal to like help me fill out my sound, but also on Tracy's tone, like just turn her up and then I could just like play, because it helped to sort of bridge the gaps in my
playing. I mean, like in that situation when we were just a three piece, you know, I think the bass does sort of like have to step up and fill a little bit of space. But you know, now when we have, you know, the second guitar player, you know, like now I can sort of like, you know, I think that's what bass is all about. You gotta do what is required, you know. I'm like,
it's hard to sing and play at the same time sometimes. Yeah. You know, like if I was just playing, I feel like I could be better. But I'm good now, but I could be like, you know.
I can only sing and play at the same time if it's the same melody that I'm playing. but slightly, I'll sing it slightly flatter.
I am right there with you. You did that as you motioned with your fingers. You went up or down with your inflection as you did it. So I'm locked in with you as well. It's like, I can be, even if I'm talking while I'm playing bass, I'm going to talk to you in the rhythm that my fingers are playing. Because that's what I know how to do.
I can only do one thing at a time.
Yeah. I don't know how you learn that either. I've been trying. It has not worked.
It's impossible. Like a drummer
that can sing, or just a drummer that can
play drums. Well, how can you do that? You're tapping
I am always impressed by drummers. There's always too many things happening.
Too many.
Very true. What do you guys do? You all write collaboratively, or do you bring riffs to each other, or finish songs, or how does that work?
A little of column A, a little of column B.
All right, flexibility.
Yeah, I think that sometimes, like, I'll bring an idea, and then we'll fill it out together. Sometimes Ashley will play a riff, and we'll be like, oh my God, I got some lyrics that'll be perfect for this. And that'll just happen naturally that way. So
Bridget is a good songwriting force, though, too. Like, she often has a vision that, you know, she's like, what if we try this weird thing? You know, like, what if we put a weird break here? Or what if there's a, you know, what if this part, you know, that's totally like syncopated? Or, you know, she has a vision often. Not always. And, but, you know, very frequently there'll be like a, you know, a really interesting suggestion that comes from the mind of Bridget that like really shapes the whole, you know, song. And sometimes it's 4 months after the song is complete, but we just roll with it.
I always want to change the songs, always. I'm never happy with them. I just want to keep changing them, even after they're recorded, but not so much when they're, I mean, I don't know.
I mean, I still think about songs I wrote like when I was 15 that I'm like, how would I play this now? Let's change this up.
Oh my God.
This song was terrible then and is still now.
We would recycle some ideas, right? But nobody knows that was like a song from a long time ago.
Yeah, no one remembers the show I played at like the high school talent show. You know, I could do that.
I'm reminded of this is in danger of becoming like a Fugazi podcast, but there's a quote where I think it's Ian MacKaye says that the record is the menu and the show is the meal. And you know, so you're just, what you hear on the record is just a snapshot of what's to come. If you find a cooler place to get to, I think that's all right.
Yeah.
But I'm not your bandmate, so I might be like way, way out there on that one. Keep changing it though.
I think the drummer has to stay consistent. Everyone else, you do what you like. I think the drummer has to stay consistent. For me anyway, because I'm following them always and not really paying attention to what I'm doing. So I at one point played with a drummer who was like always changing things up. And I was like, I don't know what's happening.
Right. You got to be in lockstep. What that, you know, doesn't actually make me think of beer. I was just thinking, we talked a lot about music. We should probably talk about beer. Oz, do you have a good beer question to save me from this terrible transition that I just tried to make?
Well, I mean, I guess we can ask about why you're drinking a particular beer, Joe. We'll start with Tracy. Why did you, what is your love of Allagash Curio that?
Oh, it's so delicious. That's it. That's all right.
About all. Podcast over. Perfect.
Done.
We got the quote.
That's the pull quote. That's it. I'm drinking mine for y'all. I'm drinking it in the Allagash.
Oh, there you go. I also goblet. Went with my Lord Hobo glass to correspond to my Lord Hobo beers, because
I got
I'm fancy. You're fancy. We're, you know.
These are the effects pedals on the beer, because the beer comes in a can or a bottle, right? But that's just the beer by itself. To serve the beer the right way, to serve right. The song, we need an effect. And the effect in your case is I think that's called a bollica or a goblet. It's like the,
I was just going to ask, do you guys know about all the beer glasses? Because I know there are many for all the different beers. And I don't know I like to drink almost everything out of this glass, including wine, because this is how much wine I would like to drink.
Important.
So this is my go-to glass for most things.
She is holding up for, this is audio medium. Oh, it is an enormous glass. It like could fit like 3 bottles of wine in it.
Well, I'm not going to get up to get more wine.
Right. So,
and you glass... can't drink it out of the bottle. That's
not. No, that's
my
that's
wife uncouth. Would strongly disagree with you.
Most of the time.
I like her.
Yeah. Most of the time. Not in the last 6 months.
We don't have a dishwasher here, so I'm always trying to get away with using, like, listen, I eat granola out of this. I can eat ice cream out of this later in the day. I don't need to, like, wash the whole thing again. Ice cream and granola are the same thing.
Or, but some beers, too, like the Heady Topper, they say drink it out of the can.
Very interesting that you bring that up. So that, as a vessel, the can is good at hiding your beer from light. And hiding beer from light is a good way to not look at your beer. And when they put that on the collar of that can many years ago, I think the prevailing notion in beer was you wouldn't want a beer that was chunky or you couldn't see through, that didn't really look cloudy, like a fine golden beer you can see through, like mine that I'm drinking here. That notion has changed significantly since then. And
so it's an antiquated statement.
It's, when a person would pour that beer into a glass, they'd be like, this looks disgusting. So they were just like, well, it tastes good, so just don't drink it from this can. But now people are used to that, because that's basically the beer trend now is hazy.
Yeah.
That's fascinating. I did not know that. And I find that incredibly interesting. Who knew?
Yeah. And
wild.
I think it might. I mean, the only thing I could draw to it to music would be like, if you were to be like, I'm going to put this thing on Bandcamp, but you have to listen to it with headphones. Like, don't listen to it in your shitty computer speaker. Yeah. I think as most of us that make music would prefer that, you're like, if you're going to listen to this thing and we pour like hours of effort into it, like, it would be cool if you could just like car. Play it on the Dell laptop that you have from work and be like, yeah, it's fine. Like,
I'm going to listen to it on, from to the speaker on my iPhone. I have earbuds, but I'm turning them off to listen to your particular music.
Right.
Just...
So yeah, indicating how a consumer should consume a thing is an interesting and bold move, and I think that worked really well for them because it sparked a conversation about that beer and what was different about it. I think they would also argue that pouring into a glass releases volatile compounds in a beer, and when you release volatile compounds, those volatile compounds are things that are you smell and taste, and so by pouring into a glass, you're going to automatically lose some of those really delicate compounds. So that's another idea. Whether or not that's true, I can't say. But like, if you make a beer, and the folks up at Alchemist have been doing it so long that I think they're entitled to their telling them how they
drink prefer. It. However, they tell me to drink it.
Yeah, I'll just drink it if I can drink it. That's
who am I to say?
Right. But like,
beer doesn't get better with like air, like wine does. You know how they say it, aerate your wine.
Changes. It's true that it changes. It better is. Definitely subjective, and depends on the style of beer, for sure.
What about the ones that you're supposed to hard pour?
Oh, cool. So those are pretty frequently, at least. One of the popular ones are they're nitrogenated, and being nitrogenated, they have to you have to release the nitrogen in some way. Nitrogen doesn't really act like carbon dioxide, so. You want that hard pour to kind of create some of the foam that's going to make that beer seem appealing. If you soft pour it, it'll feel, if they feel like, I don't know, I feel like it makes you instantly gassy because it doesn't like release the gas, but it just goes in you. So it's not bubbles that pop out. You just like consume all the nitrogen and it doesn't have any texture to it. When you do that, they release and you get this texture. And it's pretty cool.
I'm learning so much. It's fascinating. Tell me more.
I think that's true, Oz, right? Did I make that up? Most of that is true.
Yeah. That's true. But I also think like Left Hand, similar marketing, that pour hard just looks cool as hell when you do it. When you pour that beer as hard as possible and you watch it cascade down, it doesn't overflow. Like,
it's very dramatic.
Yeah. And it's because, I don't know if it's because
Instagrammable.
Very Instagrammable.
Yep.
And it makes a nice pint of beer. It's I think it's emulating what the draft experience of a nitro beer would be. When you have a nitro beer on draft, you have a slightly different system, a different mix of nitrogen and CO2. and you have a long tip, which is called a nipple, a big black thing that, like, I know it's very, very spicy. We could say nipple on this podcast, right?
No.
We can. And it has a little thing that, like, pushes the beer through this small opening that breaks out the nitrogen solution, like makes that lovely cascade and just acts kind of different. So those are meant to, you know, be something like that experience. I don't think it's easy to do that in anything but like a regular straight sided, like kind of nonic pint kind of glass. That's a good glass for that.
One of the things I miss most about like this pandemic life is a draft beer. Mm.
Yes.
I just want to like sit and I want to have somebody pour me a lovely draft beer in a nice frosted glass.
Yeah, I'm with you. I poured this Curia into this Allagash glass and I had like rinsed it before, let it dry a bit, just to try to like bring myself as close to the experience of having this at a bar, a restaurant, brewery. I've had a couple draft beers now. We just opened our patio at Jack's Abbey last night for the first time.
Nice.
I had a few draft beers there. It was great. The taste of draft beer is different. It's not the same as canned or bottled beer. So it's nice to taste that difference. And like you said, the glassware is important. Like the size of the glassware, the shape of the glassware affects what you're going to perceive in a beer and what the beer does when you put it in it.
I also want somebody to make me a black velvet because I cannot. I've tried. It doesn't
work. Is that champagne and stout?
Cider.
Yeah, cider and stuff. Nice.
I can't do it. Doesn't work.
There's a tool, I think.
I have those.
There's one that looks like a turtle if you want to get a super cute one.
That one. That's the one I recognize.
I do want a turtle spoon. I do. Yeah, I do, in fact, want a turtle spoon.
You should not want it. You should
turtle have spoon.
It. Should.
You should acquire
somebody,
it.
Please get me a turtle spoon.
Yeah, somebody get Tracy a turtle spoon. Yeah, why not?
Is it actually functional?
Both.
It's both. Yeah. The beer hits it and then like goes over the sides of the turtle and disperses it. And I guess by way of dispersing it, it makes it not go all the way down in and go too deep. It like floats on top.
Yeah. Someone get Big Turtle Spoon on the phone and let's get some sponsorships going.
Post my address in the show notes. Somebody send me a turtle spoon.
I don't drink beer anymore because I went gluten-free this pandemic and dairy.
You tried a gluten-free beer?
Not yet. So I'm drinking Willie's Super Brew Hard Seltzer.
Those are so good. I forgot about them. Those are good.
Lime. It's like the Spindrift of seltzers, I think.
Those are good.
You know, real stuff and not just the flavoring.
Is it fermented ginger?
I don't know.
Is it? I know at one point there was like listed as a kombucha, but I'm not sure if it still is.
It's not a kombucha.
Like alcohol juice.
That they have stuff like that, I think. This is their seltzer though. So.
Oh.
Yeah. They I've have had like
the juicy
a,
one.
Yeah.
Delicious.
It's real juice in the seltzer.
How do y'all feel about seltzer?
Oh, I love seltzer.
We are a seltzer loving band. If anybody needs to sponsor Locket, it's like Polar or something.
We're talking to non-LP.
Band practice.
Number one best thing that's ever happened in New England.
Whoa. Mm-hmm. We already talked about
it. Is that the ginger lime mule?
Seltzer.
I already listened
I've got
to
another non-alcoholic seltzer right here as well.
Episode with the ginger lime mule.
We're all about that ginger lime mule here.
I went to the Stop and Shop near my work today. Literally today, I took a break and went to the Stop and Shop near my work because they have the ginger lime mule and my local market basket does not. And I bought two cases.
They had it in a can. They had a 12 pack. I bought it in the 12 pack form, which I hadn't seen it in the 12 pack.
So good. Also the new seasonal cherry something. The summer seasonal ones, the cherry something or other.
They speak to
phenomenal.
You? Phenomenal.
That's
phenomenal.
One thing I'll miss about not working at once, like location wise, was that Get and Go next door. They always have like the bougiest like convenience store you've ever seen, first of all. And they have like every seasonal flavor of Polar Seltzer that you
can in single see. Cans?
In like, you know, like the
in the, bottles.
The 1 liter bottles.
Yeah. And they always have blueberry lemonade, which is my all-time favorite.
It's a very good flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Does anyone have any? I really like the orange vanilla flavor, but I have not found anyone else who likes it as much as I do. Does anyone here? Oh, you're speaking to it, Tracy.
I like an orange vanilla. Yeah, right. Absolutely.
I really like it a lot. My partner
a lot of people don't like it.
Yeah. I don't know why. I don't dislike it.
It's not my go-to.
Yeah, I'll drink it.
It's not my number one.
I wouldn't choose it if there was like a...
if there was any other available.
Black raspberry.
I mean, like maybe if it was like a single, like if I'm a little different today. Yeah, I'll pick that up. But it was...
You know, I will say, as someone who loves coconut flavor, coconut seltzer, fucking weird. Really fucking weird.
Yeah,
molar coconut is.
I like the coconut seltzer. I bought it. I like weird. I told you.
I started drinking Polar Plain at work because we just it was like all. I mean, look it. I have had a lot of plain seltzer. We made some plain seltzer last year, thinking about our beer garden and trying to, you know, welcome as many people as possible. We made some flavored seltzer, we made some non-flavored seltzer. When I had the polar unflavored, I'm like, this is good.
You're like, why are we bothering? We'll just why are we buy bothering? A case of polar.
Yeah, and so now we serve that and Spindrift. So the flavors are all Spindrift. The polar occupies the just, we buy it by the palate too. So it's nice. It's always there for us when you need it. But it kind of got me away from the flavors in general. Like I don't do a lot of the flavors now. But I do think Polar's flavors are better than most. I think it's, I would take it over LaCroix. I would take
all day.
That's our New England roots. Do you have any?
Yeah.
Any of the supermarket brands, they're just.
Pola.
I do occasionally like to buy with the seltzers that have like the slim can.
I'm
such a sucker for packaging and I love a. You know, it fits so nicely in my hand, you know, just.
I don't like the slim can because I can't put it in my koozie.
I know. Tracy carries a koozie with her at all times. Let me tell you what.
That's she a always weird
has a koozie. Like, that if you bring beers to band, don't worry. Tracy, she might have an extra one for you if you need it.
Several koozies.
Yeah.
What's important to you in a koozie? Do you have like one that you've been rocking for a long time or do you have a stable?
So many koozies. My favorite koozie, my oldest koozie is made by a friend of mine who has a t-shirt company called the Sneaky Penguin, and it has a cute little penguin on it. But truthfully, it's dirty and gross and like really grimy, and I probably should throw it away because I've had it for like 8 years. But that's my favorite koozie. I like the tall koozies for like, you know, for the tall cans.
Yeah.
And then here I have this fancy Yeti. I don't know if this qualifies as a koozie, but this Yeti. Sure.
I would call that a koozie. I'm going to allow it.
That my dad got me for Christmas because he's great. And this is intense, but it has another part on the top and it doesn't fit the tall cans.
Oh, and so that
you enjoy comes in tall cans.
You can sneakily drink that in public, right? That's part of the.
Right. That's metal. That thing is intense.
Yeah.
You could also use it as a weapon if some shit went down.
Bludgeon somebody, keep drinking, you know?
I don't know how long this will keep your drink cold for, but it's a long time.
Yeah, longer than your drink.
I just switched over to having my morning tea with like knockoff Yeti with like a handle, like a cup mug holder, because I would be like having my tea because I stopped drinking coffee over, but sometimes I still like a nice
You've coffee. Given up a lot of great things during the pandemic.
I know, but I feel so much better. I gotta tell you what, like I do. The whole reason I brought that up is because like you're talking about that turtle thing, like it reminded me of this tea sloth that I have that like it like goes over the back, like it looks like it's in a tub, like a little sloth in a tub. It's so cute, but it's not like it doesn't work well. But anyways, I drink my tea out of a metal cup now and I can forget about it for an hour and it's still warm when I go back. It's so great.
It is a very fun device to have on hand. I surprised myself with ours. My something, you know, I drink my coffee pretty fast, but then if I put it in a mug and I forget about it for a while, we have like those similarly nice mug. And then I go to take a swig an hour later and it's like hot enough to like be a problem. And I'm like, oh, that's right. Fancy adult tools, keeping my stuff hotter longer. But I never really think about that cooler longer. I guess the same thing would work with any of those and putting cold liquids in them hot days. I'm not a hot day person. I try to stay away from hot days as much as possible.
I'm always cold, so I don't want my hands to touch a cold can.
Understood.
They get chilly.
Why you're rocking pocket koozies at all times.
You can't be too careful. You have to. I have a koozie in the car. There are 3 koozies on my desk at work.
Never touch a cold thing.
No.
That's a good
I have a couple rule. Slap koozies. Have you guys ever heard of those?
Oh,
what's
yes.
A slap koozie? Yeah. Is that like a snap bracelet, but a koozie?
Yep. Exactly.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I was working merch table for this band, Turquoise. It's like a funk band because I used to do random shit for people, and it was on a boat, and I was working there, their merch table, and
Wait, I'm sorry, you're working a merch table on a boat we're finding out about this 51 minutes into this discussion? What?
Hi, I'm Bridget. I once worked the merch table on a boat.
This is the lead story.
I know, it's true. I did it a couple times too. Not just Turquoise. I did it for Cracker. Is that the name of that band? Remember like Cracker?
Yeah.
I did their merch on a boat.
Low.
What?
Low.
Yeah.
On a boat.
On a Camper von Beethoven.
And I got to like, yeah, it was fun. But that slap koozie thing, like the first person bought that thing, and then everybody came downstairs and was like, "Let me get one of those slap koozies."
So, yeah, that is exactly how that works. Like, because if you use it once, you're like, "This is dumb." But if you see somebody use it, you're like, "Yes." This is actually true of all koozies, but especially the slap koozie, extremely important that the can is not open when you apply the slap koozie.
Hot tip.
Yeah. I've done that with cans on many occasions. Try to put an open can into a koozie, then you're trying to like wedge it on. You're like, that's very dumb.
You need a nice worn out loose koozie.
Oh yeah, that protects it. That's exactly.
Yeah, like a 10-year-old penguin koozie that's never been
a 10-year-old penguin koozie, yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Our collection here at home is always changing. I always forget them. I'm always like, I wish I had a koozie here. So I do not have the kind of like koozie go bag preparedness that you seem to be bringing to your life. And
There's a drawer in the kitchen.
Mm-hmm.
We have a drawer too. I just never remember when, you know, like.
I'm with you. You're like. Oh, we have that whole drawer full of only that one.
I remember as soon as I touched that can, I'm like,
ugh. I probably have some Jack's Abbey Springdale koozies up in there too, because
you sure do.
Level, you know,
you like, should.
Yeah,
I gotta say, I don't want to speak ill of our parent company, but our koozies not thick, not particularly effective in the koozie department.
They're not the best koozie game right there.
They are not anywhere in my top 10 when it comes to ones that I have. Now, our friend Shane from Dregs Records has a very thick one that he sold this year. That's one of those foam ones that are like extra thick, that like thicker than a yoga mat thick.
Those are like the 80s style koozies.
The koozie merch, do you think? I think like this is where this conversation is leading, is that we need new. Why haven't we done this already? Because you're the queen of the koozie.
I actually think we have discussed it.
Oh.
Yeah, I think
I expected to like have her face on the backside of it at least, like queen of the koozie, and just
like, I think we talked about koozies, like, and never
iced tea.
I'm looking forward to that merch update to your collection. Yes. You guys have merch on your Bandcamp right now. Is there anything you want to plug on your Bandcamp? Things that people should know about?
Bandcamp.
Bandcamp is great. It's got our stuff on it. We got some shirts and some pins and stickers. And actually, we might even have a patch that Tracy lovingly cross-stitched available on there. I'm not sure if it's there, but it could be.
I think there's a couple. It's a couple cross-stitch patches left.
Are they all handmade?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. That's...
Yep.
Only cross-stitch because I don't care about craftsmanship. But If you don't look closely enough, they look great.
I assume, except for when you're playing the bass.
It's punk rock cross stitch, okay? That's what you can say. It's like rock and roll cross stitch. It's not
rock and roll cross stitch, yeah. A little sloppy, that's, you know.
Yeah, no, that's fine. I mean, yeah, that's just a couple stitches, you keep flowing, you know?
Rock and roll.
I'm curious what this question came to me in this conversation, and I've never said it out loud, so it might be stupid. But I think that almost every band probably has a shared love of a style of music that would be surprising for the listeners of said band, where you're like, we all love this, but we play this style of music. So loving a style of music, I think, influences what you write and what you play, but may not be overt influence. What style of music do you think? Are you guys big ska people, for example?
No, that was insulting.
I did like ska when I was in high school.
That means you still do, though. It's still in there.
Probably.
You're like me. You just haven't. You got to come back around to it at some point. It will find you again.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but what not ska? What do you think would be a style of music that fits this for you?
I think that's a good question. I don't know.
I'm trying to think of that like playlist, that road trip playlist and all that songs, if there was anything in there that was surprising. And it was probably stuff I put in there because I think I'm the wild card as far as musical taste is concerned. Okay. Maybe not the whatever. I like a lot of different types of music, you know, and I didn't start liking like cool music until my 20s, you know. Like I didn't know, I wasn't exposed to it. My parents are like into classical music, so I didn't really know, and I didn't discover it like other people did. So
what qualifies as cool music? Because I think I want to listen to this and try to also jump on.
I want to hear this stuff. Yeah
You know, like the riot as girl the
two
movement,
guys who, two guys here that like, know, ska, like, what's the cool music that we can get into?
Not ska.
Hey, whoa, I loved watch it, watch
Real
it.
Big Fish. I don't know why I did.
And you should. Real Big Fish went to my college.
Yeah.
Okay. We could talk.
I saw them in college. They came to my, but they were like, it was past the prime. That's why they were playing the college circuit. You know what I mean?
I need to say that there's a book out right now called In Defense of Ska that has an essay about Real Big Fish and their impact on ska. And it deals with the fact that they, like, you know, jumped into the college circuit and, like, quote, sold out. It's very good.
I like,
you know who else played at my college? Vanilla Ice, when he had a hardcore band.
Oh, that was the best era, right?
Oh, absolutely, because he didn't write new songs.
No, yeah, he just played his old songs, his hardcore songs.
Amazing.
Kanye West played at my college before he got, like, right as he was blowing up, and he was way too, like, popular to be playing. It was like a big deal that they had booked him, like, probably, but like right as he was getting really popular.
He's like, I still have to do this shit, even though this,
okay. And all I got was piebald.
I would say, like, there was one band that I booked that I didn't realize how popular they were. Like, they kind of got popular, like, through the 6 months of the, like, tour or whatever, and then, like, there's like 200 people there to see them. You're like, whoa, I did not expect this at all. And it was a Americana band called Meepso.
Oh. Like the Green Day show at the Hat Shell.
Famous Green Day show.
Yeah. Were you guys there? Are you that old? I'm that old.
I couldn't get there.
We were in traffic for a long time. My dad drove and we barely made it and almost got pushed in the river, and it was chaos, and they played two songs before it got shut down.
Yeah, we tried to get off at Charles MGH and, like, it was a madhouse. You couldn't walk over there.
Chaos. Because that was, like, when they booked it, was, like, before they blew up.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah, that happened at once, too, with Orville Peck. He was, like, I didn't book that show. That was a Crossroads show, but he got booked. And then he had, like, this spread in Vogue, and everybody was, like, ooh, you know, cowboys and...
Gay Canadian cowboys.
Sexy gay cowboys with, like, the and he was, like, fringe masking it before COVID, so ahead of the times, you know.
No, he was masking the wrong part of his face also.
Oh yeah, that's true. Okay, you got it. But the fringe hung down, right?
That's over. True. Yeah. We haven't tested Fringe for a COVID effectiveness. Maybe we should all just be masking up like Orville. I don't know. I will say, talking to the business owners today, and you know, y'all are involved in beer and booking and music, and the mask mandate going down was not taken like I think that could have been taken. It was mostly be people being like, oh shit, now I have to tell people to put masks on in our establishment, even though people are going to come in and be like, the CDC doesn't says I have to anymore.
It's gonna make it difficult. Yeah,
just putting it back on our shoulders. It's been on our shoulders before, it'll be on our shoulders again.
And why isn't there like an app, right? Like, does just show that you got your, like, why is it like a little paper card with like a little some doodles on it? Like, why is it not like legitimate? It seems silly.
Those are authentic government doodles that are very traceable and totally not fakeable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. The one that was originally handed to me said like Vanessa. And I was like,
that's you look not, like a Vanessa. I was going to say.
Yeah. In another life. I was like, this isn't right. And they're like, no. Like, okay, well, just make sure I get the right shot. I want Joe's shot, not a Vanessa shot. Not the good stuff.
Don't give me that Vanessa shit.
Yeah, you wanted the Moderna. You want to shop local. I know.
Can I ask about Curia? This is a beer that I'm drinking. Okay. And I'm drinking because I was instructed to by Tracy, who said, this beer, you have something to say about it. I want to hear what that something is.
I just think it's delicious. I like almost all of the Allagash beers that I have had. They're all delicious. But that one in particular, I like a nice high alcohol beer. Because I only want to drink two and then be done.
And
I
don't have the metabolism
to drink six beers. So I need to keep, you know, I need to keep it in check. But I just, it's just so, it's yummy. I don't have any better words to describe it. I also like, bourbon. So the bourbon barrel aged, you know, anything bourbon barrel aged, I'm always, you know, interested in. And I just think it's yummy. I just love it. I did not purchase that today because I went to the shitty liquor store next to the 7-Eleven and they didn't have it. So
stuff to look forward to, Mr. Oz.
That's why
how dare you refer to East Woburn Package as the shitty liquor store next to the 7-Eleven owned by my friend Tom.
Oh boy.
Is that
it
true?
It's a shithole. I mean, I've
to be fair, they have a solid, I mean, they have a reasonably good selection, mostly because they have Lord Hobo, which I feel like they wouldn't have if you were in a different town. You know, that didn't.
That's because Tom also used to work for the distributor and also works for another distributor and knows what sells there. So he's,
I like that. See, it's a small world. It's a small world. You can't shit talk a liquor store.
Without... Listen, in the most New England fashion thing, I hit $100 on a scratcher there once. So love that place.
Nice.
Is your picture up behind the counter?
No, it's not that good. It's,
well, they don't have the Curio. So maybe talk to your guy and let him know.
My girl Tracy, she likes to get fucked up on two beers, okay? Two beers only.
Two beers, kid. Two beers.
Two beers, mush. Two.
Get me a Coors Light, kid.
All right, so Allagash Curia, golden ale aged in a bourbon barrel.
Lovely.
Not funky, just straight up Belgian-style golden. Super tasty. I also love it. And I am thankful that you brought it up because I had not had it in some time. And I think I mentioned earlier, I was afraid it was only available in large bottles. I didn't know where this conversation would go.
I think the small bottles came out a couple of years ago, but yeah,
I think that's why.
It was a lovely move on the part of Allagash because I can't drink the big bottle. I'm going to die.
No, you won't want to have done that.
You don't have a koozie big enough for that bottle either.
Very true.
I might have a koozie big enough.
Bridget, would you stump for a beer from your beer drinking days? Is there a beer you could say, this is a beer I miss?
That's pretty basic. I would default.
You could be basic.
Yeah.
There's nothing wrong with being basic if it's delicious.
Like a New England IPA, you know, it's pretty basic.
It's not that basic when you think of like what is really basic is like Bud Light.
A Budweiser.
Yeah.
It's basic for beer snobs, I think. It's a little basic for beer snobs, but not, I'm not saying you're beer snobs or anything. But you know, like
we are not, but we work with a lot. So we know.
I am a beer snob.
I feel like I would be judged for that. But you know, like I'll try. I'm just not like, I don't know. I always like just something that's like not too heavy, kind of effervescent, and but a little hoppy.
Yeah, I mean, that's all, again, describing the situation where you want an effect and a thing and like a hedonistic expression of what you want rather than being like, I like this. I think that's a nice way to put it when it comes to beer. There is a level of beer snobdom where you transcend trying to get people to drink craft beer or fancy things, and you're just like, oh, I figured out what I actually like. Like my mouth likes having these things. And then you're like, that's what you like. That's a place that I am not at yet, but I aspire to be.
I do enjoy getting like a flight of beers and like trying out all the different little tiny glasses that you get. And then like, you know, just, I'm like, I love a little, you know, I would prefer a meal of appetizers versus like a meal, you know, right. I like to sample a little of everything.
You want a beer menu to be a tapas menu. You just want them to like,
yeah, exactly. Yeah. I would like to try it. And then I'd be like, oh, I like that. I don't like that. I like that. You know,
mm-hmm.
I like going to breweries, and I wish there was more gluten-free options for those folks that, you know, not that I'm, I don't know, not really a super beer drinker before either, but.
Well, there are options for you, and I hope there are more soon. My friend Lee is now the head brewer of Narragansett. Lee. So you know Lee as well.
Yeah.
I hope Narragansett has
Rhode Island. That's what you got to drink now.
Yeah.
That's
right. Not only do you have to drink
that. She was doing something very creative. It seems like the other day on social media, she was showing pictures of some beer thing.
She's a really great human being and a great person to have in our industry. And
she does a great cosplay too.
She does do a great, not medieval, sorry, revolutionary cosplay.
Anything. Valhalla. She's a Valkyrie during Valhalla.
I think I don't know that Narragansett makes gluten-free beer, but they definitely could. And with us knowing her, maybe they should. And yeah. Hi, Lee. We'll say hi.
They're opening a new space in Providence, right on the water.
Yeah, I've heard that. Room. I can't wait to go to Providence like that.
It's can't not wait to thing go I've, anywhere.
That's, I was about to say, I've never said that about Providence.
Oh, I'm actually going to a brewery tonight.
You are.
I'm 2 weeks after my second.
Oh, congratulations!
Officially, it's nice. Like the first time we're going out for like dinner or whatever. We're going to Union Brewery.
Fun.
In Providence, and they're having some live music as well. So,
oh my gosh, this is
doing a lot at once.
It seems like a lot. Yeah,
I know, but come on, come on, I got it.
I'm very excited for you.
You can judge me if you want. I'll keep my mask on. Still, all the people in Providence have not been wearing masks outside for a while now. So,
yeah, I don't think they were wearing them at the height. So,
remember when Rhode Island had like the more cases than anywhere in the world for a minute?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely per capita is a problem.
Yeah, it's not that many people there.
No, to be fair. No. I am excited for you. My partner got her second shot today. So 2 weeks from today is when I'm like, I am all in it. We're both safe. Get ready. Nice. We're going to go to breweries and drink flights.
Get ready, Providence. Get ready, Joe's Providence. Coming.
That's right. I'm going to have some, I'm going to go to Olneyville, New York system and eat some weird hot dogs.
Let's talk about hot dogs. Olneyville.
That's right.
I'm a hot dog fan.
That New York system. You so need good. To have consumed alcohol to consume one of those hot dogs. I'm going to say it.
It's, when I used to play in Providence, shape. That's where we'd go after the show.
Oof. That's the only place you can go after a show. It's required. You're in Providence, you eat hot dogs. That's it.
Are you saying Odie? No.
Ogies? Is Ogies that place?
No, we're talking about, you know, Olneyville. Oh, it's OL.
No, it's in Olneyville. It's like a bar in Olneyville called Ogies.
Oh, no,
I've never been there.
It's like a it's like a tiki bar motif, but then there's like a food truck, but it's like inside of the bar. Like it looks like a food truck, but it's inside. And then outside they have like a bunch of trailers. Like it's like called Ogie's Trailer Park.
Oh, I've seen like this.
That. I've never heard of this place.
It's really cool. The bartenders are so nice. Like just really friendly. Mm. Folks.
Well, sure. Lily's vaccinated. I'm going to Providence tonight. I'll see you in 2 weeks, Joe.
Okay. I'll be right behind you. Well, I look forward to, I hope we get a chance to have a beer, seltzer. I think we should like crack a polar variety pack up and just
a flight of town. Polar seltzers.
That's right.
I would drink a flight of polar.
Absolutely. Yeah. Well, when we get a chance to do this in person, I hope that's soon. I hope that there's a Locket show in our future and that we can go to it and drink
it. Practice on Sunday, so maybe we'll.
Fantastic.
Yeah, we're gonna shake the dust off on Sunday and see what happens.
Mm-hmm. Get it. Well, I appreciate y'all spending some time with us and chatting seltzer and beer and having fun with us.
Thank you for having us. Bridget and I were saying we were very anxious because we haven't talked to anybody in a really long time.
Well, this is good practice. This is what it is. We're out here.
And it's been documented for
The awkwardness is all on tape.
That's right. We got a direct to acetate.
Yep.
Printing situation going off of Zoom here.
It's real to real.
Let me listen to this. You know. Well, should we do it again? Just
yeah.
You have to send $5 to me so I can afford to make another one, and then I'll send out the reel.
Yeah. It is. I think we've actually gotten through some of our post-pandemic awkwardness through talking to strangers on Zoom, because that's kind of what part of our podcast has been. It's been nice to talk to people we know and have talked to, although we actually met in the internet as well, Bridget, but then we met in person. So it felt like less, you know, we've seen
each other. My house. Virtual. It was so nice.
Yeah.
Yeah.
We did do that. Not knowing you weren't going to drink them, but at least somebody.
No, I was drinking them at that point. I only stopped drinking.
Oh, nice.
It's not edge. She can break it a little bit, you know?
Yeah. That's why I can never say I
You're
was.
You're not now. You never were.
Exactly correct. Well, definitely never were then for me. No. Thanks for hanging out with us. We appreciate you.